Parallel Lives is your recondite role-playing resource, exploring systems outside the dungeon and off the beaten Pathfinder. That said, two quick notes. First off, just as a heads up, this is an episode focusing on a pretty sexual game. Our discussion isn't particularly salacious, but just so you know what you're getting into. Secondly, unfortunately, the audio for this episode ended up a little bit garbled. I've done my best to bring up the quality, and I do think it's listenable, but it's still not ideal, and as the editor, I apologize. As the following episode is already recorded and edited, however, I can assure you that we'll be back on our normal quality next week. This episode's a half an hour long. Hey, welcome to Parallel Lives. I'm Lance Sophia, today I'm joined by Carrie, and we are your hosts. We are looking at The Beast.
An unsettling erotic game for the while.
The Beast is published in January 2016 by Naked Female Giant. It is by Alexandra Santowski and Camille Vigrizinovich. And the art is by George Katronis. This is a game that you might have picked up from the description. That's a weird one.
It's a weird one.
This might be the weirdest one we've played.
Do you think it's weirder than Teen Witch?
I don't know. Like, Teen Witch didn't involve you having sex with a monster.
Yeah, but Teen Witch did involve you pretending as hard as you could, truly in your heart believing that you were a Teen Witch.
That is true. Whatever the case, they're on the same wavelength, at least.
Yep.
I classified these in the same box in my head.
Which is interesting, because this is a game about your adventure and journey fucking a monster, and Teen Witch is about your adventure and journey being a witch who's a teenage girl.
I want to be clear, I don't mean that they're related necessarily in terms of theme, but they're related in terms of being like single player LARPs.
I actually totally feel you. I don't even disagree at all. I think that they're both single player LARPs. They're both weird. In various places that have publications of unusual tabletop games, I've often seen like an intensity scale, like a content warning scale, that kind of thing. And The Beast is obviously like off the charts on all of those. And Teen Witch for sure could be.
That's fair. Like, Teen Witch is interesting because the intensity of it is not apparent at first to some extent.
Yep.
And for those of you listening without context, go back and listen to our Teen Witch episode.
It's just me and Wednesday talking about being witches.
Yeah, hello. We're the two-person part of the podcast that just likes to talk about, like, single-player nonsense.
Yep.
Your games aren't nonsense, Avery Alder and Naked Female Giant, respectively, but they are weird.
They are weird. But yeah, no, for sure. I think both of these are games that could be played in a relatively light and fun way, or they could take you to some places.
Some places.
So the rules to The Beast are super easy. You have a stack of cards. I think they're like 20...
On the website it says this takes over the pace of around 21 days, but I think it's actually 28.
Yeah, I have 25.
Oh, weird. Whatever. It takes place somewhere between 21 and 28 days or cards, depending on how you split it up, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, and you have this deck, and there's a beginning of the deck and an end of the deck, and the middle is whatever the middle is, which is to say you can shuffle it, and...
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. So a thing that I thought about a lot in my playthrough, and I guess we'll probably get to.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And you just draw cards from the deck every day, and the cards have prompts on them. And I don't want to spoil it too much by, like, reading the prompts, but they are things like, how did your body react after the first intercourse with the beast? How does it react now?
One thing that I think we can probably spoil is the Beastionnaire.
Yeah.
Which is the very first thing you do. Which is essentially, you'd call it character creation, but in this case, the character you're creating is some kind of monster, some kind of weird creature that lives in your home, and that you have sex with. That you fuck.
Habitually.
And the questions are as follows. Briefly, is like, it feels either rough, silky, slimy, scaly, meaty, or hairy.
I hide it in the bathtub or in the attic or in the forest. I'm attracted and aroused by the beast's blank. I'm repulsed and disgusted by the beast's blank. And to be clear, you have to fill out all of these.
Yep.
You are both attracted and repulsed by this monster. I think of the beast as she, this, he, they, it, ze. My beast was some kind of weird, wet flesh sack that could look like people.
Gross.
Yeah, right?
My beast was loosely based on, have you ever seen pictures on the internet of, like, citrus fruits that have grown together?
Oh my god.
That was what my beast was based on.
Okay, alright, yeah, I love it.
Like, let's just look up some pictures of some citrus fruits that have, like...
Yeah, it looks like the butt fruit.
But, like, oh, hey man. Hey now, hey. Like a nudibranch that was also an orange.
Alright, I get you.
What do you want from me?
I mean, your beast just looked like a big butt. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, my beast was just a giant ass.
No,
that's I'm repulsed. I'm attracted by the fact that it's a big old butt and butts are good. I'm repulsed by how furzy it is. So that's sort of a problem for me.
I'm fine with this. Like, tell you what. We'll find a picture. I'll put it in the notes. We'll have a picture of Carrie's beast and it won't be a butt.
Gosh. Yeah, so the way this, you just fucking draw a card every day and write as much as you want about the prompt, and at the end you're supposed to hide or burn your diary.
Yeah.
Which I guess technically mine is hidden. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean mine's on my phone.
Yeah.
So that's sort of hidden. Yeah. I mean no one else has access to my bedroom.
Exactly.
I think some diaries are available on the website too. I haven't looked through them.
So, yeah, what do we want to say about this adventure?
It's sure an undertaking, huh? So, when you're playing Teenage, part of the game is that you have to believe in magic. You have to be a teenage girl and believe that as hard as you can. And those are in the rules, those are baked in. Beast is a little bit looser in that regard. When I was playing it, at least to start, though, I did certainly try to kind of envision, like, okay, this is the Beast. I'm going to pretend it exists. I'm going to write about it every day. I'm going to pretend it lives, like, under my bathroom sink. And I'm just going to try and pretend it's real for a month. Did you try and do that, or are you just treating it more as a writer?
I tried to do that initially, and eventually completely lost touch with my ability to do that.
Yeah, no, there is... The end of that story, I guess I should say, for me, was I kept going on that for a while, and I did my best, and it was pretty tough. And then we got to... There are some cards that will assume some things about... Like, your prior relationships, or about, like, things that happened before you had found the beast, or that kind of thing. And if you're doing what I was doing, and trying really hard to insert the beast into the fabric of your normal life, that can sort of disrupt it. And that's what happened to me, and it actually put me off, and I actually stopped playing it for a while, and I had to come back. Because it just sort of like, There was a card that definitely, like, presupposes something that I certainly hadn't thought about in this backstory.
Yeah, there's one that talks about the way that the beast has affected your other relationships.
Yeah, exactly.
And for sure, yeah, by the time I reached that card, I was already very off the rails, which I guess we'll get to. But for sure, I think that could be something that could absolutely throw you through a loop. I had a sort of a similar but also different situation where the cards are kind of in a random order, except for the very beginning and the very end. And I came to some cards late that contradicted pretty heavily the kind of thing that I had been, like, developing. And so I just sort of looked at those and I'm like, I don't want to go in this direction. Or, like, this, you know, contradicts something that I already have. Or even, like, oh, I've already covered this. Do I just elaborate or... You know, and I mean, like, usually when I had already covered it, I would just elaborate, but...
Do you think they're in a truly random order, or was it just that it felt like they weren't...
Well, the rules do say, like, make a deck, 19 cards followed by the closure card.
Fair enough.
So,
I thought they were laid out in a specific way, but maybe
I
not.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Which I do think is really, really cool. Like, I can totally imagine, potentially, you know, in a couple years, for example... wanting to replay this game, shuffling the deck, and starting...
No, I mean, there's absolutely things that if they come in early, they could really change your game. And that's certainly an interesting aspect. I hadn't even considered it, really.
Yeah, no, it was something that I thought about, I think largely, again, because I did come to certain cards late in the game that I was like, oh, yes. But if I had come to them earlier in the game, I would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
So it's weird, because, like, there is a way in which fundamentally you're kind of being GM'd.
Yeah, no, it's it's strange, because, like, I thought of this in the same way as Teen Witch, but, man, you really should go back and listen to that Teen Witch episode, because we were talking about it. Teen Witch is kind of really open and loose, and, like, you're supposed to cast a magic spell in theory, but, like, that's the most direction you really get, other than the rules itself. Whereas this actually has a lot more bones in that regard.
Yeah, like 21 bones.
It's 21 bones. Or 28 bones. Or 25 bones.
It's definitely 21.
Is it 21?
I mean, it says it in the rules summary.
Okay. Oh! Okay. You know what?
What?
It's possible that I played with all 28, but you're only supposed to have 21 in at a time.
Yeah, but, okay. I'm gonna, okay, let's hang on for just a second. I'm gonna count these cards.
Yeah, let's do it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
24. Okay.
Okay, so...
Okay, weird. How did I... Okay.
Yeah, so there are 24, and then there's also the Beast Genera.
Okay.
So that's
25.
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah, I guess you're only supposed to play over 21, and I also did 25.
Okay, so they must be in a random order. That's interesting.
So you're supposed you are technically supposed to play with a couple cards removed, which neither of us did, because I guess we can't read this one-page rule summary. It's not even a single page.
Wow.
I can literally read you the rules. Rule summary, day one, fill out the Beast Genera, make a deck, 19 cards, followed by the closure card. Days 2 through 20, pull out a card, write your answer or reaction to the event on the card in the diary. Day 21, draw the closure card, choose one of the options, and write your reaction, hide or burn the diary. That's all.
God, I can't believe you're so professional and good at being a podcast about indie roleplay.
I was sort of, like, nervous about, like, looking ahead in the deck or anything, so I didn't want to do anything that was like, oh, I can't count the cards or anything. Like, I can't do anything that, like, caused me to accidentally see it. It would not have been hard to just be like, all right, here's the closure card. Let's put that aside. Here's all of these other cards. I'll remove a couple. Damn. All right, whatever. So that's the first way in which we have broken the rules. And something that I think is important about the process of Parallel Lives is that we always discover some small ways in which we didn't obey the rules and play the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you play a game once without having played it before.
Yeah, of course. And it's, you know, it's an interaction between us and the game designers, and it's purely organic and more than the sum of its parts.
Parallel Lives, a transformative work.
Yeah. Yeah, see? Whatever.
But that being the case, I think that's actually really interesting. I like the way that you burn a couple cards and then also shuffle them, because it means that everyone's base experience is, in theory, different.
Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely for sure. So you could, if you wanted to, like, for example, play this game in parallel with somebody who... with someone else's life. No, okay, so the sex 2.0 of this, right?
Do tell.
No, it's so easy.
Buy a monster.
No, you have a partner, and you and your partner both play the Beast with different decks that are shuffled, and each of you writes your Beast experience in an attempt to create erotica for the other person.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So
that's really cute, actually.
Yeah. And that also, like, keeps that experience really fresh, because you could be like, oh, that happened in yours? I didn't even get that card.
Yeah. No, that's a really interesting thought.
Having said that, the Beast's sex 2.0 is also just its sex 1.0. This is, like, really...
I mean, yeah, this is... God, certainly our... I mean, like, it goes without saying that this is our sexiest game, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, it does.
Yep.
Well, I will say that my playthrough at some point just, like, started to go off the rails. You know how in a storytelling game, like, you realize that there are a lot of options and you choose your favorite one? I, without any kind of, like, further input from any other human being, was just like, oh, but there are so many options. what if this, what if that, what if this? So at a certain point, I just started, like, writing down multiple ways in which this could go, just sort of, like, figuring out tiny little, like, prompts for myself to potentially fill in and flesh out later. Just, you know, it's just sort of a list of ideas at certain points. Like, there's at least one where it's just, like, there's a sub-list in one of them. It's like, well, if this, then potentially this, this, or this. So it became a branching path.
Yeah, like, so I went through this, and I just sort of, you know, I put it into my day. I wrote just kind of a couple sentences for each card or whatever. I was like, okay, I'll see where this goes. Carrie made a choose-your-own-adventure book?
Yeah, so I'm, like, I think that before we release this episode, we might, like, consider reaching out to these people or something, because I might make a Twine game.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, because for sure, like, you know, you have these open-ended questions, and there are a bunch of different directions that you could go into, and, like, those directions potentially, like, span genre. Like, as it became clear that the person who was writing the diary was not literally me, I started thinking about, well, who could this person be?
Mm.
And I came up with numerous options that I really liked. So I would sort of be almost, not literally, but like, kind of every time, you know, every time I would draw a new card, I would think to myself, okay, so in the version of this story that I'm telling that is someone being interviewed, like, by her boss,
okay,
or, like, the FBI or whatever,
okay,
then, you know, in that version, this is an interesting answer to this card. In the version where this is a Victorian spinster, this is an interesting answer to this card.
I'm a curiosity.
And I just wrote them both.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask if you settled on one, but I see.
Why would I do that?
Okay. All right. Is there going to be a character select screen? That
I don't know.
Like, it's possible.
Yes, I know. Without going, like, too deep, I think that the idea that I have is a little bit, like, I really like With Those We Love Left Alive.
I think it's With Those We Love Alive.
Yeah.
Classic. I could look it up. I have a cell phone and it's definitely right here.
Yeah, I threw my cell phone across the room so that it would not make any noise.
Classic game by Perpentine.
Yes.
Charity Hearts game.
Yes. An excellent game. But, like, the way that it works in that game is you sort of have a block of text and you can click on highlighted text and the highlighted text changes, but the rest of the block remains the same, so it's like magic. And, like, I think that there's a fair amount of that could happen.
Mm.
I don't know. We're gonna see! This is a legitimate writing project that I'm absolutely going to be working on.
Two thumbs up.
Which is one of the reasons that, like, I think it's important for us to contact the creators of this game, because the fact that I'm playing this game is woven deeply into this project. Like, you know, I did not at any point, like, just go off the rails and start, like, doing my own thing. I was like, okay, well, I've reached the conclusion of what I have for this card right now. Time to draw the next one.
Okay, yeah.
And okay, so I would not expect anybody to have the same experience that I did, because, again, I went so deep.
That's a way you can phrase that.
Yeah.
That's true.
So strangely deeply deep. But even though I expect that my experience is atypical, sounds like it was probably very different from yours, this is a game where you can go pretty deep, you know, basically as deep as you want. You know, there's no limit to how long your responses can be. And sort of the only danger in writing, like, a long response is that later you might draw a card that contradicts that, and you might have to, like, you might have ludonarrative dissonance.
No. I will say, Well, maybe you don't have to go as deep as our friend Kerry did, although certainly I think that you'll probably enjoy yourself.
I had a great time!
I think that, and I had an alright time with this, I think you'd have a better time if you wrote more than I did. I wrote like a couple sentences each. I think if you expanded that to at least a paragraph or two of her, so you're actually writing like a full-on story and not just like, these are my thoughts and ideas about this particular portion of having sex with this monster. I think you'll enjoy it a little more.
I will say that there are ways in which this is genuinely a horror game.
Hmm.
In that, there were times when it would be the moment where I had to draw a new card. Like, I experienced actual dread, actual sort of concern. Like, worry about my diary writing characters. Worry about the beast. I was actually fairly invested in, like, you know, in the beast and in, like, the stories, I guess, I was telling. And I was like, oh, no. What if something terrible happens?
No, that's legit. Some of the cards are about how you're having sex with the beast. A lot of the cards are about how upsetting things happen around the beast.
Yep. You know, so you never know, like, what you're going to flip. Because, you know, fundamentally, this is just a bunch of open-ended questions.
Yeah.
And it could be anything.
Could be a real Cyano Utah, where the U is Y-O-U, because it's... You're playing it, and
I didn't even think about Cyano Uta while I was playing this. Damn. Another thing I think that is a potential, like, 2.0 or sex 2.0
okay.
is, you know, make your own cards.
Hmm.
But don't play with them. Give them to somebody else.
Okay.
They play with them.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
And I think that that's probably best for, like, a second playthrough or a third playthrough. Like, you know, spice this up. You'll have some of my cards and...
Yeah, you know, just shuffle in a couple cards from Juggernaut. It'll be fine.
Yeah, shuffle in a couple cards from Juggernaut. Yeah, I love the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
Fear the Juggernaut. What's it like? What are the effects on your life, on your body, and on your well-being of having sex with an all-knowing computer from the Cold War?
Yeah, no. The Juggernaut is some kind of strange, menacing sex monster, and the Juggernaut is never wrong.
Okay, and that's so good. I'm so about that.
I actually like this 2.0 more.
No, it's a really good 2.0. Oh, I'm so into it.
Okay.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, this is such a small and such a weird game, but I am ultimately so impressed with it, because... It is such a fertile...
It's a fertile game to go deep in, I understand.
It's a fertile ground for, like, stuff. Like, there's just a ton. It's so flexible. God. you can do anything with it. Innuendo aside, I'm being serious. You know, like, there is a Juggernaut version of this game. There is a space alien version of this game. There is a version of this game that you play with a partner. There is a version of this game that is Exquisite Corpse, where you pass around a diary with, you know, one person, one other person, or a small group of other people. And there is a Twine game in here.
Absolutely, there
is. Yeah. But yeah, so I did not expect to be as impressed and taken with this game. Like, I expected, like, I was like, ah, yes! I want to play the weird masturbation game. I'm going to do it. And then, you know, most of the way through, I was like, oh, this is actually, like, there's so much in here, potentially, if you want to get into it.
Okay. I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it so much. It's like, I played through it, and I was like, okay, this is all right. But, like, you being so excited about it has kind of reinvigorated my interest.
Oh, well, that's nice. No, I was very, I don't know, I think there's, like, a weird amount to explore in here.
Certainly, that's the adjective for it.
So, who is this game for?
Oh, perverts.
Yeah, this game is for perverts. It's probably for anybody who is sexually interested in monstrosity or in beasts. If you really like David Cronenberg, the game is probably for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, if you spend most of your time hanging around on Netflix or something, here you go.
Yeah, no, if you're a big D partisan, you like them monster girls.
Yeah. Alternately, or in addition to, perhaps. If you're a person looking for some interesting writing prompts.
Yeah, for sure. If you are... Yeah, I mean, basically anybody who's interested in sexual horror and writing, done, though.
Yeah,
this
you got it.
This game is for you. This game is not for, you know, people disinterested in body horror.
Yeah.
People disinterested in having spooky sexual writing things. Like, honestly, this game is the kind of thing that doesn't really, I think, require, like, a trigger warning, because if it is going to be something that really bothers you, you're going to know immediately.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're a person who doesn't want to think about having sex with a monster for nearly a month, don't do it. Give it a miss.
Yeah, no, and if you're uncomfortable with, like, because there is, I think that, like, body horror is unavoidable in this game. Like,
yeah.
Completely. I think you could not get lucky enough to remove all of the body horror from this game.
Yeah, no, like, just the way that, like, just the beast genre, I think,
yes.
really puts you on that, and the cards keep
which
going.
Which is great, to be clear. Like, the fact that this game is so upfront about what it is, and, you know, it's like a poisonous animal. It's colors that you're like,
Yeah, but also, like, I think there's a pretty good chance that most of the time your beasts are going to be pretty different than each other.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, again, our beasts were extremely different.
Yours is spookier.
I mean, you know, it is spooky, and I was sort of leaning into it. I was like, well, I should make a really spooky beast, but, like,
yeah.
It could also look like a person, it, you know, it's not weird.
Yeah, and you also don't have to lean that far into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're trapped. The game is never going to allow you to not have an unsettling experience. But how unsettling it is up to you, the player.
Yeah, so unless you have more to add, I feel like...
Yeah, I don't know, we've covered some really good 2.0s.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the Juggernaut 2.0.
Right! It's so good!
For context, those listening, Juggernaut is another game we play, there's an episode on it, it's sort of a LARP, it's by Jason Morningstar. There's a supercomputer in the 1950s, you can tell the future. And
it's never wrong.
And it's never wrong. And hey, I don't know, maybe you can have sex with it.
Yeah, and you also, in that game, you also draw cards from a deck and are surprised by what comes up. Yeah, they're basically the same game. I am, of course, completely joking. This game has some formal similarities to Juggernaut and is otherwise completely different.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The closest games that this is... that we have played are obviously Teen Witch and Abnormal, which is the body horror
yes.
game.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
you don't need us to tell you that.
Yeah, and maybe a whiff of Monster Hearts.
A whiff of Monster Hearts.
Yeah.
Just a little smell.
Yeah, actually there's some point in my notes where it occurs to me, like, again, most of the way through, I'm like, wait, could I be a teenager?
What if you took a Jenga tower? And you wrote the beast prompts on the different
okay.
blocks.
All right.
And you drew them every day, and it fell down. Something terrible happened.
Holy shit. What if my cat knocks over the Jenga tower?
Well, then something terrible happens.
Damn, dude.
This is, for reference for those listening, a reference to Fred, which is our first episode, because I'm drinking a base horror game. I'm trying to add citations in here, because we refer to old games
sure.
a lot.
Yeah. Seriously, this game is really interesting. If it is remotely the kind of thing that floats your boat, give it a go!
Yeah, give it a go.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I don't know how to end this one. Like, usually I try to end it on a pun, but I don't know what to... I don't know.
I mean, so basically what you're saying is I should just talk, because eventually something will come out of my mouth.
Eventually an innuendo will happen.
Yeah, and
it'll
just be like, BAM! The Beast is a bang-up game.
Thank you for listening to Parallel Lives. If you want to find the show online, we're at parallelurl.com, parallelpodcast@gmail.com, or the Parallel Lives Tabletop Podcast on Facebook. We'd love it if you review us. If you'd like to find any of us on Twitter, the podcast is at Parallel Chat, I am at Wednesday Quest, and Carrie is at Baruch Emotions. If you want to find The Beast, you may find it at nakedfemalegiant.pl. This episode was produced by me, with music by Kevin MacLeod. Check back next week for Inspectors, but it's not spelled like you think, and also there's ghosts. That episode is an hour and 20 minutes.